Let's get right to the message this morning. We've been in a series called Thanksgiving Leaves. And I saw a lot of beautiful leaves as I went back home to North Carolina. And then I went on north of where my brother stays and went out in the country. I even walked some property and beautiful area up there and watched the leaves as they were turning. Beautiful colors up there right now. I don't know why it's still pretty, but it really is. We think of Thanksgiving, when we think of Thanksgiving, think of those leaves, turn those leaves falling. So that's the name of our series, Thanksgiving Leaves. I don't want to drag our feet and take a lot of time, but let's go back and look at a little bit what we've seen so far. First of all, today we're going to look at Thanksgiving Leaves Legacy in just a little bit. That's our message today, Thanksgiving Leaves Legacy. First of all, we looked at what Thanksgiving leaves, then when Thanksgiving leaves last week, and then today, Thanksgiving Leaves Legacy. The first message, what Thanksgiving leaves, we found some things. It leaves eyes that can see. When you start to be thankful and grateful, your eyes just open up. Wow! And you start to be grateful and thankful, you just see things you never saw before. Next, it leaves a tongue that can praise. Hallelujah. When you can see the things that God has done, is doing, is going to do, see your family, all the blessings that we don't deserve, all of a sudden your tongue will come unloose, baby, and you'll start praising the Lord. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Number three, a mind that can know. This is what Thanksgiving leaves us. It leaves us with a mind that says, you know what? God was good before. He's going to be good in the future. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It gives you a mind that you can know things. You can see things that you never saw before. God is with you. He blesses you. Number four, it gives you a heart that can worship. You cannot worship God, period, if you're not grateful. I don't care what you say. I'm mean as a snake, but I love Jesus. No, you don't. You know, turn me down just a bit, Kev. Worship is born out of thanksgiving. Worship is born out of a grateful spirit. And that's what we get when we are thankful. Bring me down just a little bit more because I know I'm going to scream here in a minute. Look at that. Let's go. Here's something that Thanksgiving gives us. We saw this. Here's what Thanksgiving, I'm not talking about a day on a calendar. I'm talking about the spirit of Thanksgiving. Being grateful to God. It gives you perspective in your life. I tell you what, before I was a Christian, I'll be honest with you, I don't remember hardly being thankful for anything. But since I've been a Christian, give my heart to the Lord, and He started opening up my eyes and my life, it's given me perspective of my life. It's beautiful. Some other things it gives us. It gives us direction. Keep moving. We saw this. It gives us confidence. You know what? That's what I'm saying. When we're thankful, we're grateful, and we're mindful of those things, we know we can have confidence because He's going to be there for us in the future. Amen? It gives us confidence. We saw this message already. Determination. It gives us destiny. We can realize our destiny when we're thankful. Things might not just work out according to plan like we think it's supposed to work out sometimes, but if we stay with it, we're thankful, we're grateful, in the end, I guarantee you'll see the big picture. It's going to be great. God's going to help you get to where you need to go in life, but He's not going to with a bad attitude or being ungrateful. Also, I love this. It gives us connection. My mama's in heaven, and you know what she's doing? She ain't grumbling, and she ain't complaining. She's praising Jesus. Amen? That's what they do on the other side, by the way. And you know what? Even if you've lost somebody that you love to pieces, let me tell you, that you can have connection with them because they're praising Jesus over there. Why don't you praise Him down here? Amen? That's what it's all about, being thankful, being grateful. They are. You don't have to lose that connection. They're there. They're safe. Why don't you carry that mantle high that they carry? Be grateful. Be thankful. Praise the Lord. It's a good thing to do. So we saw that. Now, last week, we saw the ugly message. How many remembers the name of the guy that got swallowed last week? What was his name? Cora. Wow. I told Pastor Graham earlier, he was sitting over here last week. And I looked at him when I started the Thanksgiving message and I was going to preach on Cora. And he didn't probably think this way, but I was looking at him and I thought, he thought, what in the world's Clark doing? Preaching on Cora on Thanksgiving. It's crazy. But anyway, we found out what happens when Thanksgiving leaves. When does Thanksgiving leave, according to Romans 1? It leaves when we don't glorify God as God. It also leaves, listen, when we're not thankful. And the Bible goes on in Romans chapter 1 and tells us when we don't glorify God as God and when we're not thankful, we're rebels. We are rebels. We often think of a rebel as somebody who's just evil and mean and nasty and all that kind of stuff. It all starts right here. It all starts, you become a rebel. A rebel is born when he doesn't glorify God, when he is not thankful. A rebel is born. Let's keep looking at some things. What happens when we rebel against God? According to the passage last week, our minds get messed up. Our minds get messed up. A person who is not grateful and who is not thankful, they might be smart as the day is long, but something's wrong with them. Are you hearing me say? Somebody's not grateful. Somebody's not thankful. I don't care if they make 100 on a test. Their mind's messed up. If you're blessed of God, you live in this land and you're not thankful, something's wrong with you. Number two is what the Bible said. Our spirit's in darkness. When we're not thankful, there's a dark, cold spirit that comes over us. And we've met it. We know it. Maybe we've even been there, depressed, defeated, down constantly. Listen, Thanksgiving is phenomenal. It's not just a day on the calendar. And then finally, we become foolish. It's amazing what not glorifying God and not being thankful leads to. It leads to being an absolute idiot. So being thankful is a good thing. Amen? I got no problems as it is. I don't need to be totally foolish. Amen? And that's what happens. Now, I didn't finish the passage last week. And this is just a little review and we're getting to the message. But we read this passage last week, but I didn't finish. What happens when we're not thankful? What happens when we don't glorify God with God? Because there's this classic passage over here in Romans chapter 1. Here's what happened. They weren't thankful. They didn't glorify God. Here's what the Bible says. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, they left the natural use of the woman. They burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Bottom line is, when we're not thankful, we don't glorify God, we don't live life our way, you start doing all kinds of crazy, wicked things. And that's the path. But it doesn't just stop there. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I said it last week. If you don't want to be grateful and thankful, you know what God will say? Fine, don't be. It's your choice. But here's the mess that's going to follow you in your life. It's just one page of it. He gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things in which are not convenient. It's amazing. A person that is filled with himself and not with God, filled with evil and not being thankful and grateful, it's amazing what things man can do, and many of us know we've done them. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers or gossips, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Boy, doesn't it make you want to be thankful, say? Do you want to be on that page, yes or no? Huh? I don't want to be on that page. It's amazing what being glorifying God as God and being thankful can do for us. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, that's mothers and dads not loving their children. Horrible, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things would be worthy of death. Guess what? Big deal. Not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them to do them. If we go down that path, that's what happens when Thanksgiving leaves. When Thanksgiving leaves us. Now, the holidays left us, but I hope it won't leave us. Amen? Praise the Lord. I hope it don't leave us, baby. I want to be thankful. I want to be grateful because this opens the door of tremendous blessing. Now, that's where I want to go now to the message. Let's go right now, Roger, to our message today. Can you say Thanksgiving leaves legacy with me? Thanksgiving leaves legacy. One more time. Thanksgiving leaves legacy. And if you got a phone, cut it off. Pitch it. Somebody's got something, or a little card somebody gave you. My sister gave me a card. I couldn't get rid of it fast enough. Amen? Here we go. Let's look at what the Bible says today, and then we're going to look at a couple of quotes to start our message. Christian Life magazine went back to the records of 1677. They traced the genealogy of an immoral man who married a prostitute. Let's see what happened. When they looked into his life, what did they find? 1,900 descendants resulted from that union. That immoral man, that prostitute. 1,900 descendants. What did they find? Of those 1,900, 771 were criminals. 250 were arrested for various offenses. 60 were thieves. 39 were convicted murderers. 40 of the women were known to have venereal diseases. These people spent a total of 1,300 years behind bars. They cost the state millions of dollars. We're talking about legacy today. What are you going to leave? What kind of legacy are you going to leave? Proverbs 10:7 teaches, the name of the wicked will rot. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. We're going to leave something. Did you hear me say? You're going to leave something. You're going to leave a memory. You're going to leave an impact on somebody's life. I want to leave a godly legacy. I'm convinced that Thanksgiving and being grateful is what impacts people's lives, the way we live, and how we feel about things like that. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? Help me now this morning. He is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, Christian Life magazine also looked at another genealogy of that time. They looked at a Christian man and woman who were wed in the late 1600s. Three generations later, Jonathan Edwards was born into this family. He became a revival preacher and, believe it or not, president of Princeton University. Well, what did they find when they looked at his generation? There were 1,344 descendants in the Edwards legacy. Let's check it out, Raj. Of these 1,344, 186 were ministers. Dozens were college professors. 86 were state senators. 3 were state congressmen. 30 were judges. 1, believe it or not, was vice president of the United States. All of this, and there is not one record of an Edwards being in prison, divorced, or on public welfare. What's the Bible say? It says this: the memory of the righteous is a blessing. Can you say that with me? The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked shall rot. We're talking today about Thanksgiving leaves legacy. Do you want to leave a legacy? Do you want to leave a positive legacy? You're going to have to lose a bad attitude. I mean, I know this ain't pretty preaching this morning. You have to lose a bad attitude. Somebody's always nagging. Well, I'll be like I want to. I'll say what I want to. You're damning your children. Wake up. Be grateful. Repent. Get right with God. We can't have that stinking attitude and think it's not going to make a difference in other people's lives. It does. I said with my family, thank God. I was at home in North Carolina. I said to my brother Kenny, and I looked around. And look at all of them, all the Clarks there that work, just my brothers and sisters and all their family and their kids and those that married. And there we were. And my brother Kenny looked at me and he said, if without Mama, this wouldn't have happened. And he said, without Mama's murder, we probably wouldn't even be here doing this. And I looked at him and I said, I'm proud of you. He looked at me and he said, I'm proud of you. I said, boy, we're not the same hellraisers we used to be, are we, buddy? Not that we're proud, look at us, we're better than other people. We're not judging anybody. We're looking at what we were and where we are now. And it's because of one woman who was sitting drunk in a recliner one night when Billy Graham was on. And the Word of God was preached and Mama said, we're going to church this morning. I'm telling you, you might say, I can't leave a legacy. All you've got to do is be a drunk that can sit in a recliner and you can do it. Amen? Come on. You can leave a positive legacy of an impact on your kids, on your family, on your community, and on your church, for crying out loud. Let's learn about it today. This is a blessing to me. I studied a lot this week, looking at all kinds of scripture. My wife and I talked about it off and on. She studied, she looked at scripture, and we had a good time with it this week, just looking at different things. And it was neat to really think about this and let the Lord lead. It was a beautiful time for me. Let's look at it. Thanksgiving leaves legacy. Legacy. What does legacy mean? Here's what legacy means. Something resulting from or left behind by a person. Let's look at it again. It's something resulting from or left behind by a person. And since you're a people and I'm a people, we're going to leave one of them things. Are you hearing me? We're going to leave something. Why? It's going to result from or be left behind by us. We're going to leave something. I want to leave a godly legacy. Let's keep moving. Now, I don't usually put those stories on the screen, but I put this one up here. Did you hear about the man riding the bus? Keep moving it, Raj. A fellow passenger accidentally stepped on his foot, and the dude cursed him like nobody's business. And after that, the man that was cursing so bad, he started to complain loudly that the bus was too cold. So he's cursing, he's complaining the bus was too cold. And then, when the bus became crowded, the man refused to stand up and give the lady a seat on the bus. No manners. When his stop came and he got up to exit, the bus driver looked at him and said, sir, you left something behind. And the old mean snake said, what? I've got everything I came with. Here's what the bus driver said. Said, no. Said the driver, you've left something behind right here. A bad impression. We're going to leave something behind, folks. It just depends on you. And I'm a firm believer that thanksgiving and gratitude is going to mold and affect what we leave behind. If we're not thankful, if we're not grateful, we're going to leave a mess behind. That's what we're going to leave. We can do better than that. Let's talk about it this morning. Jeremiah 2:7, great verse of the Bible. God speaking, I brought you into a plentiful country, sounds like the United States, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land, and you made my heritage an abomination. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to wreck what my mama started. Did you hear me? I don't want to wreck. I don't want to be the one that messed up what my mama started. We have a chance now to leave a lasting legacy. Amen? And I want to do that. I want that in my life. I don't want it to be said of me that you defiled my land. You made my heritage an abomination. I don't want that said of me. So what am I going to do? I need help. Let's look at it. Something you need to know. Can you say that? Something you need to know. It's being set up. This is really important. Right here. Leaving a legacy is not the same as being perfect. Would you say that with me? Leaving a legacy is not the same as being perfect. That's a cop-out. You can't say, I can't leave a legacy. I've screwed up my life. I've just done this, 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 this. Here's how you leave a legacy. All you got to do is be a drunk in a recliner and you leave a legacy. See what I'm saying? How many have had loved ones in your life who've been saved by the blood of Jesus? Listen to me. How many have had some loved ones been saved by the blood of Jesus? They were hell raisers, lost it all, get out, and they had a miraculous change of life. Can I see your hands this morning? Say, it happens, doesn't it? Say, huh? Imperfect people can still leave a legacy. None of us are perfect. And if you let Satan get that thought in your mind, you'll never do better. You'll never change. You need to realize you can change, and it's your responsibility to change and to leave a positive legacy. Let's keep looking. God's blessing doesn't require perfection. It requires a relationship through faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He did it for you. The ground's level at the cross. That's where you start right there. You receive Him as your Savior. Get forgiveness. Get the family of God. Hallelujah. And you never know what can happen. If you start listening to God and reading His Word, you'll be amazed at what that relationship's going to do for your life and for others. I thought about Abraham. I thought about a lot of people this week as I was studying. In the Bible, it doesn't say legacy, and you just turn your Bible and there it is. You really have to dig on this one. But I thought of Abraham. Leaving a legacy doesn't require being perfect. Let's look at the man Abraham. Chapter 12. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house. Basically, leave all your family and go to a land I'm going to show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curses you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham became the father of nations, the head of Israel. It was through what he did and for being obedient that our Savior Jesus Christ came. Hallelujah. Amen. God gave us somebody he could count on. But was Abraham perfect? Yes or no? Do we know Abraham wasn't perfect? We can even think of some things. Let me name three of them for you right quick. First of all, God told him to leave his family. Get away from your father's house. What did he do? Took his daddy with him. Took his daddy with him. Broke the first thing that he told him not to do. Took him with him, and for a long time, God didn't even speak to him. You ever felt like that? You're not washed up. You can still do something. Look at it. Next. He lied about his wife twice. He's scared that they were going to kill him because his wife is so beautiful. And they were going to kill him if they knew that she was his wife. So he lied and said, say, you're my sister. Crazy thing. Did it twice. Lied. Next. Have you ever lied? Your grand candidate to be used of God. Amen. He had children with the maid. I hate to say it. He had sex with that woman. All right? He did. Had a baby. Had a baby with the maid. Crazy. And his wife suggested it. He did it. Can God use messed up people like that? Absolutely. He see the bottom line, folks, we're all sinners. We might not have done what he did, but I bet Abraham didn't do some things we've done. Amen? God can use us. You got to get that out of your head that you got to be perfect for God to be able to use you to change you. You can be used of God. Genesis 15:6. So what happened to Abraham? Here's what the Bible says. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. It's amazing. If you'll start today, and you'll say, you know what? My attitude has stuck. You know what? My life hasn't been a wreck. I want to change for the glory of God. I want to leave a lasting legacy. If you start believing in Jesus Christ and reading God's Word, it's amazing what can happen in your life. James. The Bible says, something like this being called God's friend? Say it. Tell you what. That's quite a legacy, isn't it? Say. Isn't that great? That's quite a legacy. Let's keep looking. Here's a couple of great statements. God knew Abraham, and Abraham knew God. Look at this verse. This is one of my wife's all-time favorite verses in the Bible. This one right here. Genesis 18:19. This is God talking. I know him. I know Abraham. That he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. That's called my legacy. To do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. God knew Abraham would do it. He knows that about you today. Did you know that? God knows that you can leave a lasting legacy today. There's not a soul in this building today that God's looking down saying, she can't do it. God's not doing that at all. God's saying, every one of you can leave a lasting legacy. You can make a difference. You can impact your world. If you'll only do it. If you'll only realize it. Let's keep moving. Couple of questions. Do you know the Lord? Does the Lord know you? Do you have faith in Him today? Are you trusting the Lord today? Are you seeking to live for the Lord today? You can make a difference if you can say yes, 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 yes. God can change your life today. This affects your attitude. Your attitude leaves an impression on others. The way you feel about God, God knowing you and you knowing God, that's going to impact your family and your relationships like it did my mama. I can't believe it. You know, my sister just bought a new house. She moved from Richmond back to Rockingham. Just got the house. And so none of us have seen her house. You've got to realize the house we came from. The house we came from is old. It's nasty. It's horrible. Growing up with weeds, it looks like a horror house. But you ought to see the pictures of my sister's house. $1 million yard. Big columns. The lines on it are phenomenal. All I could think about was what our house was like. And look at where my sister is. I'm not saying God's going to give you a brand new house or anything like that. All I'm saying is if you start living for God, you never know what kind of legacy and what you're going to pass along, what you're going to do. Did you hear me? You can have that old negative answer, I can't never do that. I ain't never going to get nowhere. Why don't you start? Why don't you let God take you somewhere? He can do it. Get it for us. Amen? Phenomenal. He can work on the Clark family. He can work on your family. It's amazing. Do you want to have a godly positive attitude? Say, let's answer the question. Do you want to have a godly positive attitude? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, then we're going to learn. We're going to learn. We're getting close. Come on. We're getting real close. Do you want to affect others with an attitude of gratitude? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, then let's look at it. Here we go. There's some don'ts, there's some do's, and there's some big expectations. And we're going to make it this morning. I looked all in the Bible. My wife was throwing scriptures at me. Look at this one, look at this one, look at this one. I was confused. But I honed in on one of them. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. If you have your Bible, want to turn there, that's where we're going to be. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Would you read this with me this morning? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's three don'ts if you want to leave a legacy. Listen, boy, this is important. This is time to set up right now. Come on, here we go. Here we go. And you're doing great. You're really helping me today. Let's look at it. Some don'ts. Number one from this verse. Number one, if you want to leave a legacy, don't get your counsel from the ungodly. Can you say that? Don't get your counsel from the ungodly. I'm not saying we can't hang with the world. I'm not saying we got to reach the world. If we're going to reach the world, we've got to reach out to them. Amen? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying judge them, look down your nose at them, nothing like that. But I am saying, don't let them tell you how to live your life. Are you hearing me? If you want to leave a legacy, you're going to leave a legacy like you're hearing them, what they're telling you. That ain't where you want to go, dude. Huh? Get good godly counsel if you want to leave a legacy. Get good godly counsel. I'm not saying it's got to come from a pastor, but all of us know people, don't we? That we can get good, sound, solid, godly advice from. Call on people like that. Choose to listen to people like that. Don't listen to a lot of the slop and mess that you hear on TV or in magazines and periodicals and that kind of mess. If you want to leave a godly legacy, that might be fun. But if you want to leave a godly legacy, get your counsel from the godly. Number two, don't spend your time in the wrong places. It says don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't spend your time in the wrong places. You know what? The little song years ago, that be careful, little eyes, what you see, and all that kind of stuff. Listen, there are eyes watching you. There are eyes watching me. It's important that I don't spend my time in the wrong places. Some of you are like, what does that mean? What does it mean? You know what my mama did? Our family was a wreck. All of us hell raised. You know what mama did? Every day she'd get off work, go home, get in the car, drive up to Gene's place. Meet me. Gene would come out with 2 6-packs. It'd been better if my mama didn't go to Gene's. Did you hear me? And then mama would come home, she'd drink, she'd get in the car, this time the car doing this number, and she'd get up there, meet me. Gene would come out again. That was no good for my family. That was no good for us. That was no good. And she went to places and caroused and did different things, places she shouldn't have gone. I've done the same thing in my life. Things I shouldn't do. That's no good for legacy. People are going to watch you. Kids are going to watch you. Your family's going to watch you. And you're not going to get anything good out of the wrong place. Do you agree with that or not? Say. Amen. I was driving home the other night. I left at 3 a.m. to get back here Saturday morning, 3 a.m. I got back at 4 p.m. yesterday afternoon. I am driving through a part of South Carolina. Y'all won't know it. It's near Society Hill. I'm driving through the country, poor country. It is 4 o'clock in the morning. I could not believe at the bars and squalors along the road. Lots of cars. People standing outside. Drinking. Just hanging out. Their families are going to hell in a handbasket. Are you hearing me? 4 o'clock in the morning hanging out like that. You ought not do that. Are you hearing me today? Can't believe, I thought Pastor Clark was a friendly man. If you want to mess up your family, do mess like that. You ought to be home. You ought to be with your family. You ought to be in the right places. That's if you want to leave a legacy. That's just good old common sense as far as I'm concerned. Number three, what's this verse teach? Don't hang out with negative people. Set and see to the scornful. Some of the most negative people you ever meet hang out at churches. See, my life's been the ministry. So where have I seen the most negative people at? Somebody guess. And don't hang out with negative people. What is a scorner? A scorner is someone who derides, someone who puts down. A scorner is somebody who is a gossip, who will talk about other people. More talking about other people happens in the church house than any other house. Listen, don't hang out with people like that. Don't hang out with negative people if you want to leave a lasting legacy. And don't play this game. If people want to talk about somebody or say negative things about people, well, I just need to be a good Christian and listen to them and help them. No, you don't. You tell them to hush. Amen?
Amen.
You know what people tell me? It's funny. It doesn't happen much here at Fellowship at all, thank God. But I've had it said to me, and it has happened here. They come up to me and tell me something that somebody else said. And they don't want to give me the name. And then they say this. They say, well, they're scared to tell you that. You know what? If you're going to talk about somebody, if you're going to be negative, I want you to be scared to tell me that. Do you hear me? I don't want to have a welcome sign on me that says, go ahead and beat up on somebody and talk about somebody like a dog. That ain't on Clark. I ain't. You're going to hit the wall if it comes like that with me. I'm not going to put up with it because that discourages me. Do you hear me today? I have to say, no, I'm going to listen to that crap. That's a bad word, ain't it? That's what it is. Don't do that. Don't hang around negative people. I'm not saying we shouldn't reach out to people that are hurting. Don't get me wrong. But spending your time with a negative person. I've watched it time and time again. I've watched couples and churches and families and churches hang out with people who are negative. And I can say this. I tell my wife, just a matter of time. They're gone, honey. They're gone, honey. They're gone. It's just a matter of time. I can see it. I'm no great genius. But I can figure people out. You hang around with negative people, you're going to get discouraged. How many ever hung around negative people and went away positive? Oh boy, yeah, I can charge hell with a water pistol now. They drain the life out of you. And if you don't have life, you're not going to leave legacy. You just died. You've got to have life. Protect yourself from listening to that. Don't do it if you want to leave legacy. Hey, this isn't just for the church house. This is for the business world, anything. And that's what business folks say. People in your company, negative, negative, they'll destroy your company, won't they? Absolutely. This is so important. So don't get your counsel from the ungodly. Don't spend time in the wrong places. And number three, don't hang out with negative people. I do not want to be somebody that somebody comes up, talks negative, gossips. I thank God, hallelujah, amen. I don't be that. You can see I get off on that. What's the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 13. Great love chapter. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. It's really talking about, this whole chapter is really probably talking about our tongue and how we speak. And that's how we show other people we love them or we don't love them. Do I speak with the tongues of angels, men of angels, and I don't have love, I become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. This is where I want to be in my life, right here. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But you know what? When I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, it was cute when we were little. Did you hear what Billy did? Yeah, Billy did that. I heard Billy did that. But Billy did this. Grow up. You're not a child anymore. And some of you, I don't want to be ugly, but I'm going to say it because I feel led the Holy Spirit is saying, I know some of you in this room are just that way. You're negative. When people think about you, they think negative. I'm not saying you're horrible, but I am saying that's going to be a bad legacy. Do something about it. Come to the cross. Nail it. Admit it. Be honest about it. Say, Lord, I want to change. I don't want to be that way anymore in my life. I want to get up out of the recliner, amen? Amen. I want to leave a legacy. I want to have it when you're sitting around the table and I'm dead and gone. They can say, boy, I thank God for Mama. That's what I want said. Let's keep moving. Some news. We're almost done. Some news. Psalm 1:2. His delights in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. So what are some news? Real simple. Delight in God's word. Can you say that? Delight in God's word. Number two, watch it. Meditate on God's word. If you want to leave a lasting legacy, just thumbing through it every once in a while ain't gonna cut it. You got to get in it. And when you see it, you don't argue with it. You don't say, I can't believe that. That old Bible tell me. Listen, when you look at God's word, you go, hallelujah, thank God, the God of heaven has written something down. He's talking to me, baby. Delight in it. And then mull it over in your mind and think it through and make it part of who you are. That's if you want to leave a lasting legacy. Somebody came to my office the other day. It was the Kings. I pulled out one of my mama's Bibles. Remember? It was marked. Mama marked it. She meditated on God's word. God can take a drunk and leave, even a drunk, save them, and they can leave a lasting legacy. You can do it. You can do it today. Hallelujah. Look at some scriptures. I'm just going to rattle them off. They're all in Psalm 119. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect in thy ways. I'll delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget your word. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding. I shall keep your law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go into the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loves it. So those are some do's. Do meditate. Do delight in God's word. And here's the last thing. Some big expectations. That's what I'm talking about. I don't want you to leave here today. I know you're going to think I'm nuts, but here. I want you to leave here today thinking, I can make it. I can do it. I can leave a legacy. I can change. I don't have to be the way that I always was and the way my family always was. We can make a difference. I can change people. I can impact my world. It's amazing. Some big expectations. What's the Bible say? Psalm 1:3. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Here's some big expectations. Here it is. Expect to be like a tree. Expect to be like a tree. Here's what I mean. The Bible talks about a tree that's healthy. That's what we don't expect out of ourselves. We don't expect poor, pitiful me. I can't ever do nothing. I'm going to leave a bad. Listen, we don't expect to be healthy and strong like the big old oaks I saw in North Carolina. I was walking out in the midst of them. There they were, big, strong. I expect to be like that. I expect to leave a legacy. I expect to leave a bigger godly impact in my community. You see anything wrong with thinking like that? Say, I expect that. I expect to be like a tree that's healthy. I expect what I say, my words, my actions, my doings, my thoughts to be good thoughts, healthy thoughts. Number two, a tree that's fruitful. I expect to leave legacy. I expect to bear fruit. I expect to impact others. I expect to make a difference in my world. I expect that in my family. I'm doing this. This is God's will. It's right. I'm reading His Word. I'm praying. I'm living for Him. I am not perfect because I don't have to be and I can't be. But hallelujah, I expect to make a difference. Number three, a tree that is consistent. The leaves aren't withering. I don't have to be up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down all the time. I can be consistent. When people see me on Sunday, they can see me that way on Monday. They can see me that way on Wednesday. They can see me that way on Friday. I can live a consistent Christian life. It can be done. Otherwise, we're going to get so defeated, negative, that it can't be done. It can be done. Watch this one. I expect to prosper. Can you say that? I expect to prosper. I expect that if I do Psalm 1, 1, 2, and 3, I expect to prosper. Now, I don't know if prosper is going to mean material things. It has meant that in my life. It has meant that in my life. I have prospered. I cannot believe it. It's all God. God did it all. But there's been so many other areas of prosperity that I've seen and that you could attest to as well. Big expectations. Next. We're almost done, I hope. I'm wearing out. I write these, so it's my own fault. I expect to be a blessing. I expect to be blessed, but I also expect to be a blessing. I expect God to bless me. Did you hear me? I expect that. God's going to bless me.
He ain't going to bless you.
He is going to bless me. You're crazy. He is going to bless me. Why? Because He's been blessing me. We'll fight right here before. God, I expect to be blessed of God, and I expect myself to be a blessing to others. I expect myself to be a blessing. When I came to church this morning, I expected I was going to be a blessing. I expected I was going to get a hug from her. I was going to hug you back. And, you know, I expected that. I expected when I touched people that people would light up. How you doing? Good, how you doing? I expected that today. I expected this to be a good day, not a bad day. Are you hearing me today? Next. God expects this out of me, so I'm going to expect this out of me. God expects me to be a blessing. And since He expects it out of me, I'm going to start expecting it out of me. And here's the last thing. I'm going to accept this for the power of the Holy Spirit. And Roger, we're going to stop right there. Not much left. Just some other scriptures would be good, but we're out of time. God expects me to be a blessing, so I'm going to expect this out of me. And how am I going to do that, preacher man? Here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to accept this through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to expect this. I'm going to accept this through the power of the Holy Spirit today. You can leave legacy. Can you say this with me? I can leave a godly legacy. Would you say that with me? I can leave a godly legacy. One more time. I just need you to say it. Come on. You can believe it. Come on. I can leave a godly legacy. Now, if we're negative, if we're always talking down, looking down, putting down, it's not going to happen. I have got to expect God to bless me, and I've got to expect God myself to be a blessing to other people. I can't do this in my own strength. So I receive that from the Holy Spirit of the living God to work in and through me and to make a difference in my life and to make a difference in my family. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen? Greater is He that's in you, me, than He that's in this world. We can achieve. We can leave a lasting legacy.